Our reading this morning is taken from the third gospel in the New Testament, Luke. Luke 19, 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen.
It's really lovely to be back here. Karen and I moved here to Blantisham almost 25 years ago. Yes. Yes. One or two of you have worn well. Probably better than we had. Actually, when we moved, we BMS, who, Malcolm, not Graham, because he was sat just there, who Malcolm referred to, had bought us a house in Holidays Road, which was probably our happiest house that we've lived in over the 47 years of our marriage. So we loved living here. And we moved here partly because, mostly because Paul Hills once said to me more than 5 years ago, this role with BMS is one that you'd be really good at doing, John, he said, sitting in our living room. And so that's why we were moving. But we moved here because Karen had got a job with the county council, and this was pretty well spot on where we needed to live. So she got her job before we could move. And so we had the house, and she moved for a whole term to live on her own again. And we brought a whole lot of kit down to our new house, most of which we needed help either getting into the house or sorting out when we got in. And Karen said, "There's a Baptist church round the corner. Go and see. It's a Saturday morning. Go and see if anybody's there at a Baptist church on a Saturday morning," 25 years ago. So we came round, and Gordon Pickard was here with a couple of other blokes. Could you answer a prayer like that better? So, and Gordon, of course, had the most enormous toolbox that I've ever seen in my life, which he always, as you know, carries around with him in his car. And so, we had a very happy 9+ years, being part of this fellowship. That's 14 years ago now, so, but I've just had a bit of an emotional trip down memory lane, being here spotting Paul and, you know, just being part of the worship. I don't know whether you ever reflect on some things, but I was thinking this week about the times when we have waited for something really important to happen, like somebody coming to see something or pass by. And there's been all sorts of occasions like that in my life. I remember when I worked for Croydon Council, they dug up the old railway sidings outside our office and made it into the Queen's Gardens for her 25th anniversary. And the Queen came. I could see her out of my office window. But for the previous 2 years, I'd watched it being developed. And in fact, we went to something for that centenary. That occasion. We went up to London to see the Queen come down the Mall. And we waited for hours and hours and hours. And eventually she came past in about 40 seconds, I would say. And it's this little boy who'd stood next to me all this time. He was about 8. He said, "Well, that's another day of my life gone." brilliant. Oh, out of the mouths of children. We went to see Harry and Meghan's wedding. We had to go a day early. We got up from where we'd stayed. We went to Windsor for about 5:30 in the morning, and we waited for them to come past. The interesting thing was we had a fantastic view until the last half an hour, when all the people who came, having sort of had their breakfast at home and come late, just pushed in front of us. And fortunately, I'm tall, and so I could see. So sometimes you wait. It's kind of one of those urgencies that you have. You want to see something happen. You want to see somebody significant, and you have to wait and be patient for that to happen. And poor old Zacchaeus had another issue, which is he was short. Now, we had a parade of short people this morning. I say with great respect, okay, to those that have had to lower this lectern. But he had a significant problem, which is that he was not only short, but he wasn't very popular. He was a man quite literally out on a limb. His name, Zacchaeus, means pure, but he was a man who had a good name, but a poor reputation. And we know some things about Zacchaeus from this very simple passage that many of us would have known from Sunday school and probably not heard very many sermons on it, because it's quite hard to get a 25-minute sermon out of a story which is very familiar to children. So we know some things about Zacchaeus. And one of the things we know about him was that he was a tax collector, but he was also a publican. Those of you brought up on the Authorized Version will know this story as a story about a publican. And that's because the two names were synonymous. A publican was a tax collector, and a tax collector had a sideline in running a pub. Now, there's your first fact. So he was pretty low down the social spectrum. Not only was a tax collector, but he was amongst the people that others complained that Jesus spent his time with publicans and sinners and the like. He was pretty low down. Now, most of you will know that tax collectors for the Romans were a particularly disliked group of people, and they were disliked for a very particular reason, which is that you wouldn't expect Zacchaeus to go and get his hands dirty collecting from the local populace. So they employed other people to do that. And when they employed those other people, they didn't pay them. It was all on commission. So you made a penny or two out of the tax collecting. That's how you made your wages if you were a publican's assistant, if you were a tax collector's assistant. So that's kind of how it worked. And there was another reason why he was... So he wasn't liked because he was a publican. He wasn't liked because he was a tax collector. He really wasn't liked because he had all this riffraff who went round collecting money and making money out of collecting money. He also, worst of all, was that he was the tax collector for the invading nation. This was, remember Jesus' time, this was an occupied nation. This was a nation that had been taken by force. This was a nation that had brought peace only by its violence. This was a nation which the Romans made sure that they imposed their will in draconian ways that even in the 21st century we find abhorrent. So he was like a middleman for this occupying force. He was not a popular man. And you know that from the story, as Joy read it to us, that when Jesus went and spent some time with him, that everybody started muttering, look who Jesus has gone to spend his time. He's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And of course, tax collectors were never popular people. They never have been popular. Have you ever met a tax collector? Oh, a tax collector. Has anybody been a tax collector? No. I have asked that question a few times. I don't. But it's interesting because we don't really talk about these things very much. I came across this story this week about a man who'd been in church. And a couple of weeks after hearing a sermon on lying and cheating, a man wrote a letter to the Inland Revenue. He said, I haven't been able to sleep knowing that I've cheated on my income tax. I understated my taxable income and have enclosed a cheque for £150 P.S. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest. So there's this man called Zacchaeus who wanted to see Jesus, and he climbs this tree in order to get a glimpse. But to see this Jesus, he has to do something quite remarkable, which is that although he's a man of position and power, he has to do something very humbling, which is he has to climb a tree. Now we know some things about this tree as well. Would you believe that we know something about this tree? And what we know about this tree is that it was probably about 5 meters high. They're probably like these trees outside. Very fat. Sycamore tree, very fat. And difficult to climb, but you could get out onto the branches. And here is a man who is a man of position, well-dressed, well-informed, well-acquainted with the finer things of life. And he goes up this tree in a kind of humbling way. He's short in stature, and people probably recognized him as such. And they weren't going to let him through to the front of the queue to meet Jesus. He was at the back. He had these physical characteristics. And how often we judge people on the basis of their characteristics. How often is it that we still, even at this point in the 20th century, look at people's size and shape and colour? We think about where they work. We think about their parents and their house. We have still remained, because it's part of our human nature, a judgmental people. And so we find that here, even in Zacchaeus' time, we find that someone who is being ostracized because he's a publican, because he's a tax collector, because he's short, because he's wealthy, because he's not popular, because he's working for the people who have invaded the country. And so it's this man who goes up the tree to have a sight of Jesus. And Jesus calls him by name. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus calls him by name. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And that, even in that simple sentence, we understand something of the heart of God. He calls us by name. He knows who we are. He knows all about us. He knows about our pain and our suffering and our anxiety and our worry. He knows about our concerns. He knows about how we have perhaps experienced ourselves being ostracized, not invited, not spoken to, put outside of the orbit of other people. We might know something of that experience in our own lives. And God comes to us and says, whatever your name is, Zacchaeus, come down immediately, for I'm going to come to your house today. He wasn't just a short man physically. There's something else about Zacchaeus that we know, and that he had come as one who was short spiritually. Because the scriptures tell us, don't they, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we see a man who is both spiritually impoverished and relationally impoverished, and Jesus comes and says, I'm going to come to your house today. He doesn't seem to have had any observable need in that sense. He's well to do, but God had set eternity in his heart, just as he sets eternity in our hearts. And so something is drawing Zacchaeus to this moment to connect with his creator. And fight it or ignore it or deny it, the scriptures are clear. We human beings have a desire within us. We are spiritual beings, and no amount of worldly success and possessions will ever satisfy us from knowing God in our lives. There's a lesson for us all in this, wherever we are spiritually. The lesson, it seems to me, and the lesson for that Jesus was applying was that nobody in that crowd was insignificant. And everyone in that crowd needed to hear the good news of the kingdom of God, of this gospel that we continue to share. And there's so many things we can do in our lives, but at the end of the day, nobody is insignificant to God. And nobody is so apart from God that he would not want to draw them to himself and call them by their name. And that includes every one of us here today. Zacchaeus needed Jesus. And so does a lost and dying world. We see another interesting thing in this passage. Let me not go back. We see another interesting thing in this passage. There's a real amazing thing that's going on, which is that in that culture that Jesus and Zacchaeus and the crowds and the complainers and the rabble and all the rest of them lived in, no matter how high somebody's status, you couldn't say, I'm going to come to your house today. It just wasn't on. You just couldn't. You had to be invited. So Jesus is really going out of the culture here. He's saying that's really not something you would ever hear somebody doing. And Jesus breaks with convention because he wants to meet with Zacchaeus. There's the second thing that we also know, that Jewish people normally considered the ability to call the name of someone that they had out, that somebody who they'd never met, was the sort of thing that only a prophet could do. So do you see a deeper layer in what's happening here with even Jesus calling Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, you didn't just go up to somebody and say, hi, John. You had to wait to be properly introduced, let alone going and inviting them to their house. And so there's an amazing, miraculous moment happening here. Zacchaeus is called down from the tree. Out of his humility, we find someone who is called to meet Jesus. His tree was amazing. A sycamore tree has figs. I didn't know this until Malcolm asked me to speak. Oh no, Peter asked me to speak on this passage. This passage is supposed to be about a determined character. And Malcolm wrote to me and said, Peter, a determined character. And I assumed it was you, Peter. So I've been trying to think how to get the theme back into the message back into this, and I realised that I hadn't actually picked that up as being the title. Anyway, this tree had figs in it, and what people used to do was that the figs weren't very good, but then you'd eat anything that was worthy of eating, and so they used to have all sorts of tricks to mature this not very pleasant and fruit. And Amos, the prophet, was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. So what we see in this passage is Jesus coming along and picking some fruit, some spiritual fruit, out of the sycamore tree. We know how detestable the name of this publican was. We know that he was really not liked at all. So is it not astonishing, Jesus' kindness, to call him by name, to invite him to his house, someone who others would recall about, but Jesus knows him by name and goes to his house. See, for somebody like Zacchaeus, a ragamuffin, there's not a lot for him in religion, particularly this Jewish rabbinical religion of its time, where you gave money to the priests, who then spent their time worrying about how many angels could fit on the pin of a head. It's not very attractive message, this religious stuff, to people who are guilty and who are searching for meaning and purpose in their lives and trying to come to terms with who God is and their own humanity. And it wasn't true then, and it isn't true now for us. What's going on in Zacchaeus' life is there's a work of the Holy Spirit, that God always calls us before we call him. He always finds us first rather than we finding him first. And that's the way that God always builds his church. He always works in our lives before we recognize that that's happening. It's a kind of spiritual principle. So that's what has drawn Zacchaeus. He might have seen other people, he might have heard about Jesus, but what has really called Zacchaeus to get up humbly up the tree and then come out of the tree again and go and spend time with Jesus is because God has been at work in his life. Is God at work in our lives? What is it that we can discern he's already doing in our lives with us? And in that moment, Zacchaeus is a man whose life was revolutionized. He might have been a determined man. He wanted to meet Jesus, and he has now met Jesus. And there is an amazing response. We don't know, he hasn't prayed an ABC prayer or whatever. But in that moment, in that moment of meeting Jesus, his life is transformed. We would call it conversion. We might have a processes that we think people ought to go through. But meeting Jesus in that moment has transformed his life. Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. He didn't purchase his salvation. This isn't him saying, oh, now I'm going to do some good stuff so I might get to heaven. His life has been revolutionized. And the impact of that is that he sees people around him in a different light. He gives in a charitable way. He gives because he just wants to bless now these people who have shown him such dislike and hatred. And he's willing to give in a corrective way as well. He gives in case he has stolen from people. And he doesn't just go a little bit. He doesn't say, here's a bit of money back, or here's even all the money back. He says, I'm going way beyond that, which is actually a picture of how God deals with us. God just doesn't begrudgingly respond to us, but he's always that much more generous to us. Goodness, in this moment, Zacchaeus has learned so much about the nature of the kingdom of God. This man's life has been transformed. All of his life has been getting to this point, but his encounter with Jesus has caused him to start giving away. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And we just have a little view here of the way that Jesus' mission and method works. Zacchaeus hasn't just become a better Jew. He's become renewed in Jesus. He has become what we now would say is a Christian, a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Jesus says to himself, this day salvation has come to this house. Mission is accomplished. I have in my notes Romans 4:16. And let me just read it to you because it kind of just reflects on that last thought that he has become renewed in Jesus. Therefore, says Paul, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. And I watched that video earlier on when the person speaking was talking about how the people of Israel cry out to Jesus to recognize him as their Lord. And that's what Paul is making right through Romans, and that's the point that's been illustrated in the story of Zacchaeus this morning. That Jesus wants us to come to know him, and to know him as Lord and Saviour, and to see the salvation come to our house. We don't know anything very much about Zacchaeus. We don't know anything from the scriptures as to what happened to him after this encounter. But we do know a couple of little snippets from the early church. These are the people who carried the gospel forward from the New Testament times. So this is not scripture, but this is what two people wrote just after the New Testament time. One of them is that Zacchaeus may well have been Matthias, who was added to the number of apostles after the death of Judas, which would be amazing, wouldn't it? Another says that he accompanied Peter a lot and was appointed bishop of Caesarea. Well, we don't know. And very often God takes somebody who has got a particular set of skills and gifts, and then he anoints them to be used in a particular way. So it may well be, I doubt if they would have appointed him their treasurer, not after their experience with Judas as well, but it might well be those innate gifts that he had were being used in new ways. Maybe this experience of meeting Jesus was so profound that they could see that there was a difference. I don't know. He might well have been the case. So let me leave you with this thought. Who are you in this picture that you've been looking at for the last 20 minutes? Who are you? Who is it that you identified with as we were telling this story? You probably know that little saying, to reach the fruit of a tree, you must go out on a limb. And that's what Zacchaeus did. Did you identify with Zacchaeus? Not because you're short, but maybe you are. But do you identify with him as somebody who feels an outsider? Who feels that people treat you differently? Because of your background, because of where you grew up, because of what you do for a living, because of your social standing. Do you feel that you're being treated that? Because the good news is that Jesus doesn't see you like that this morning. He sees you completely differently. Are you one of the crowd this morning who, whenever this subject comes up of being inclusive with those that are around you, that treating people made in the image of God, you always want to put a but on the end and a maybe on the end and want to treat some people differently in the end? And goodness, is he prayed about this morning, this turmoil that even goes on in this country about all sorts of issues to do with identity and background and faith and so on. And maybe this has been a reminder to us that Jesus would have looked over our heads and called Zacchaeus out of the tree. Maybe that's who we see ourselves as. Zacchaeus. The man who went out on a limb in order to receive his salvation. Salvation is still available for us today. It's still available for us to have our minds and our hearts changed by understanding the priorities that Jesus has in our lives.